I figured let's get right into it because we got a pretty big story to talk about. Late breaking. I know there's a lot of people online that are going to say, oh, no, this is storyline. This is a work. That's because they want better storylines. They want to see drama. No, this is a real incident. And let me tell you something. A lot of you out there, by the way, welcome to tonight's show. Don Tony here as always. And it is May 16th, 2022. You know, I've been a wrestling fan since 79. I have experienced WrestleMania 1, Monday Night Wars, the rise and fall of TNA, you know, to a certain level. Now enjoying AEW and so many different alternatives out there. And I got to be honest with you, over the years, you do not get statements like what we got tonight with WWE. Sure, we know what pro wrestling is. Every promotion that you watch out there, from MLW to Ring of Honor to Impact Wrestling, AEW, WWE, they're all the same. They just give a different version of it. But at the end of the day, it is sports entertainment. But, you know, you remember around 2000 when Tony Schiavone was working for WCW. I'll never forget it. And I know some of you older people like me out there, he on Nitro dropped a bunch of papers on the desk and said, this is not part of the script, everyone. This is not part of the script. I mean, we don't need to know. We don't need to be reminded. You know, when you go to a movie, a horror film, you want to forget during that 90 minutes or so that it is choreographed and fake. You know, you want to get scared. You want to get grossed out. When you see a hero on a screen, you want to feel like the person is a hero, not just everything pre-planned. So for those that don't know what went on tonight, let me just preface it with this. You know, in my opinion, it took a lot of time and repair for that stigma that was attached to Sasha Banks a while ago about, you know, not getting her way. And you remember people saying, including me at the time, you know, because everybody said it was true. And everybody I talked to also said it was true, that Sasha pretty much had temper tantrums, you know, not happy with the way her, you know, they're playing characters on TV. And sure, you know, the characters do spill out into real life, but you get paid to do a job. And all that stigma with Sasha Banks, I think after tonight, comes right back once again. Now, I'm going to tell you what is being reported, and I'm going to read you WWE's scathing statement that they issued tonight. I tell you, in all my years, you don't get something like this. This is wild, and this is a bigger story than you think. This is not just, oh, cool off for a few days. No, my original reaction, look, and we're doing this literally 5 minutes after Raw ended, so a lot could go down and be updated by the time we're done with the show. Now, before I get into it, I know a lot of you are aware of it already, but tonight we're going to do a cool contest. It's going to be somewhere around 11:30, give or take a couple of minutes. And tonight on the show, we're going to give away this, you know, let's put a better picture up there. I told you, somebody at AEW hooked me up with some autographed Sting photos with the Darby face paint. We're going to give away a photo and a $50 AEW e-gift card tonight. And the rules are simple. Obviously, you have to be a subscriber because only subscribers can be part of the chat room. Around 11:30, we're going to allow everyone to post in the chat room who they believe are going to be the two AEW Jokers this Wednesday. Samoa Joe fights a Joker and Dr. Britt Baker fights a Joker. Don't post them now because they're not accepted now. But when I officially start the contest, it'll run for 60 seconds. All you have to do is type something. And if we get multiple people that guess correctly on both, you got to get both, Then what we'll do Thursday is we'll spin a wheel live. We'll put everybody who got it right on the wheel, and whoever it lands on gets the Sting photo and the gift card. So that'll be around 11:30. All right. When Raw opened up tonight, we were going to get this six-pack challenge. And the winner of this match was going to face Bianca Belair at Hell in a Cell. Now, I want to make something clear. Some news has come out. The problem is that because you got all these sources fighting it out, like I saw JD tonight, nothing against JD, he did nothing wrong, but he's like, look, I don't know who to credit on this. Everybody is racing. Hashtag, I got to be first. I got to be first. I got to get the credit. I got to be first. I got. So what happens? You get some people out there that try to like add a little bit to it. Got a hunch. Add a little to it. This way, if it ends up being true, I reported it first. You know, just like all these schmucks out there. Oh, breaking news. WWE's going to be selling Cody Rhodes tattoos. We had fun with that last year. Come on. Yeah, it's not breaking news. This is just, you know, whatever. So, you know, we don't know who to credit. But you see tonight, you know, the little claims about Naomi out of all of this. Yeah, I find it a little bit hard to believe when you really look at the overall picture. So anyway, what happened was we open up Raw tonight and we get Bobby Lashley versus Omos in a cage. Was it supposed to open up Raw? I don't know. I think this six-pack challenge to determine who is going to face Bianca Belair at Hell in a Cell is a pretty damn big deal. I think that's more important than Omos and Bobby Lashley in a cage. That's not leading into anything for Hell in a Cell. So I think Omos versus Bobby Lashley probably would have opened up Raw anyway. But in the first 20 minutes of Raw tonight, we are told we're getting a six-pack challenge. It's going to be Naomi versus Sasha versus Asuka versus Becky Lynch versus Doudrop versus Nikki Ash. Now, keep Doudrop and Nikki Ash in the back of your mind when we get to the WWE statement. So 20 minutes in, this is the main event for tonight. Okay, I'm fine with it. A little bit later on, we get a weird backstage segment with Becky Lynch and Adam Pearce. And if you go back and you watch that segment, I mean, it seemed like it went a little bit longer than it was supposed to. Then it goes to a commercial break, and then it comes back from a commercial break, and Becky is still kind of arguing with Adam Pearce. And Becky Lynch makes a weird remark, and she says, Naomi and Sasha Banks walked out. They walked out. They left the building. So what ends up happening is Becky Lynch feels that she never got a rematch, that she should be granted the rematch at Hell in a Cell. Adam Pearce instead announces that later on tonight, instead of the six-pack challenge, I don't know why Doudrop and Nikki Ash got screwed out of all of this, if you really think about it, on TV, but they turned the six-pack challenge into this. Asuka versus Becky Lynch, with the winner going to Hell in a Cell to face Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. Okay. Now look, on the surface, if you go back and you look at social media at that time, you had a lot of people that were like, oh, why did you change it? I think Becky Lynch versus Asuka is more appealing to me than seeing a six-pack challenge. You got two tag team champions in there. So why would you have one of the tag team champions go to Hell in a Cell? We probably would rather see them defending their tag team championships at Hell in a Cell. Nikki Ash and Doudrop, with all due respect, why are they getting an opportunity to possibly face the Raw Women's Champion at Hell in a Cell? So when they changed the match, I was like, fine. You know, sometimes you change things in storyline with never any intentions on having a match in the first place. Then my next thought was, okay, was Sasha Banks and Naomi supposed to be in the building from the beginning? Because for those that don't know, WWE and a lot of wrestlers, Stephanie and others, were in New York City today. something related to Fox and NBC Universal. Bianca Belair was actually in New York City today. She flew on a red eye to get, is it a red eye? Well, she flew straight from New York City to be on Raw tonight. Randy Orton, they could have done the same thing, but they said, Randy, we don't need you tonight. Relax. Stay at the hotel. All is good. But Bianca made the trip. And I thought, okay, maybe Sasha and Naomi were in Manhattan. And maybe either they didn't make it to the building or maybe they were never at the building. You know, we don't know. Then you start hearing rumblings that, no, Sasha Banks and Naomi legitimately walked out of WWE tonight. And if you paid attention, especially Corey Graves, they went out of their way to tell us more than once tonight that they unprofessionally left the building. They walked out. Early reports coming in was that it was creative differences. Now, again, people start getting a little bit creative here. They want to add a little bit extra. As a hunch, people started saying, oh, no, Naomi was supposed to win this match tonight. Naomi was supposed to win this match. Now, let's be honest, everyone. Does it make sense at all with Naomi being a tag team champion, and she is technically a SmackDown wrestler, why would she, as a tag team champion, face Bianca? We all agree Naomi should get a singles title shot. Yes, but why doesn't she just face Ronda Rousey if that was the case? I find it a little bit hard to believe that Naomi was the choice to face Bianca. I think this is someone rolling the dice. And if it ends up that it was true, I don't even know how you prove it, that, oh, see, I reported it, give me credit. Everybody's racing, give me credit, give me credit, give me credit. But little bits and pieces start coming out. Sasha Banks, very unhappy with how the match was set up today. A lot of creative differences. Now, you know, because we've had some fun with it over the last few months, Sasha Banks has posted some funny, cryptic comments on Instagram, on Twitter. We've shared it. Remember the one with the baby who is crying and then the father puts a boatload of money in front of the baby's face and the baby, remember when we showed that? And she hashtagged Vince in there? You know, there's a weird, funny relationship between Vince and Sasha. It's a weird relationship. I'm not trying to insinuate anything, please. Get your mind out of the gutter. But this is a little bit of an odd dynamic that we have talked about for a while. So now you're hearing Sasha is not happy, not happy, not happy, not happy. Okay. Then WWE posts this statement tonight for everybody. Everybody got this statement. I got it in my email as well. And I'm going to read it to you. And this is wild because you never see WWE get this explicit. I mean, you think of Bret Hart. Remember Vince McMahon? Bret Hart forgot that this is a business, that he is an entertainer, a character. And he forgot, you know, you remember all of that. Remember that incident with Vince Russo and Vince McMahon back in like 1995, where on TV, Vince Russo was saying to Vince McMahon that you this sucks and this and that. Trying to put a little realism. This is not that. WWE statement, and I quote, when Sasha Banks and Naomi arrived at the arena this afternoon, they were informed of their participation in the main event of tonight's Monday Night Raw. During the broadcast, they walked into WWE Head of Talent Relations, John Laurinaitis' office, with their suitcases in hand, placed their tag team championship belts on his desk, and walked out. They claimed they were not respected enough as tag team champions. And even though they had 8 hours to rehearse and construct their match, they claimed they were uncomfortable in the ring with two of their opponents, even though they had matches with those individuals in the past with no consequence. Monday Night Raw is a scripted live TV show whose characters are expected to perform the requirements of their contract. We regret we were unable to deliver as advertised tonight's main event. WWE don't issue statements like that. WWE does not issue statements like that. I mean, sure, they tell the networks, they go, you know, conventions, and they talk about their form of entertainment. They don't remind their own wrestling fans. These are characters. A lot of these wrestlers are larger than life, that inspiration. And you basically, they threw Naomi and Sasha back. Please, there are some people online say, oh, no, that's a storyline. That's a storyline because Naomi's going to join the bloodline. That Sasha and Naomi feel disrespected. So this is going to piss off Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. And this is going to lead to a monster tag team feud between them. WWE does not do that. They do not do that. They never do that. And this is surprising, shocking. Happy 16-month anniversary, Rojo Bear. Much love. He thinks their careers are over. I wouldn't go that far, but listen, everybody. I have the statement on the screen again if you want to read it. When you claim to and you tell millions upon millions upon millions of your fans that they left with their suitcases, gave the tag team championships back, and walked out, that is not storyline. When you tell your regular wrestling fans this is a scripted TV show and characters are expected to perform the requirements of their contract, you're basically, you're pissed. That is scathing. And they made it their business on Raw tonight to say it multiple times. They left. They walked out. They were unprofessional. They gave their tag team championships, got their suitcases, and left. This is not a Toni Storm incident. Toni Storm, you know, never really adapted to the main roster and the rigors and everything. Look, it's not made for everyone. And I totally respect Toni Storm because she left the right way. But when you, let me point out one other thing about this statement that I got to tell you. I seriously doubt that it's Becky Lynch, and I seriously doubt that it's Asuka. But how does Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. feel right now when WWE is saying that they claimed they were uncomfortable in the ring with two of their opponents? I mean, my God, you know. Usually that's kept quiet. And you put that out there too. Make no mistake about it. For whatever reason, Sasha Banks and Naomi were upset. Now, let me also point this out. I got to make this clear. From what everybody is reporting, and I think we could all agree with this, Sasha Banks was the one who was primarily upset about this. Naomi, secondary, but Naomi, you know, who is standing by her, you know, good friend and fellow tag team champion, that if Sasha is walking out, I am walking out with her. That's pretty much the consensus that we are, that Sasha is the one who was extremely upset about this. Now, where does this go from here? Again, if this was something that it could have been dressed internally, WWE would not have put a statement out there. The reason why they put that statement out there is because you know that everybody that claims to be a journalist is going to put their spin on it. Like I said, you already had someone claim that Naomi was supposed to win the match tonight, which makes no sense whatsoever. You know that people are going to add little things here and there. Oh, okay, we heard this, but we got an exclusive. We got this exclusive. WWE throwing a statement out there, you know, that's it. This is the story. So, sure, some people will still try to add a little bit to it, But the fact that WWE had to get that out there before the show even ended. Not even, let cooler heads prevail. Sasha and Naomi didn't need to be in the match. They're tag team champions. We'll worry about that tomorrow. No, the fact that they went this far, that's something they don't do. And look, we talked about this with Mustafa Ali. We talked about this with Jeff Hardy, and we talked about this with others. You know, no one in WWE is bigger than WWE. Some people may think Roman Reigns and a select few. But when you have Jeff Hardy walk out the way he did, and yes, he had an emotional breakdown. You know, we talked about that many times before. But then you have this person walk out. And this person goes on social media and complains, and this person does this. You know, WWE's going to nip that shit in the bud. Oh, no. Oh, no. We're not going to create a climate that if you don't like the way you're being used, you could just complain on Twitter, walk out here, walk out there, and then eventually we work something out. That is dangerous. When you're a billion-dollar company, that's dangerous. When you're a publicly traded company, you think stockholders want a lot of these wrestlers to do it? Oh, no. Hell no. So as much as you may feel that Sasha Banks was in the right, as much as you may feel Naomi was in the right, I mean, logical business tells you they're not going to take that shit from anyone. Even if it is Sasha Banks, even if it is Naomi, who everybody beloves, she's got a heart of gold, there will be ramifications. I think those tag team titles are stripped. I don't know where it goes from here. I expect them to be suspended at minimum. I mean, I'm sure WWE, I know what you could all think. Oh, WWE would never release Sasha Banks. They would never want her to go to AEW. Yeah, I mean, that's possible. They have the money to pay her to live out her contract. But this is a mess. This is a mess. This is not storyline. And if it were storyline, that is WCW 2000 all over again. This is not in the script, everyone. We don't fucking need to know that. This is horrible. This is horrible. I don't think we go to the point of firing them yet, but this is a mess. And look, I'm not going to throw Sasha under the bus, and I'm not going to throw Naomi under the bus, because I don't know exactly what, you know, has been left out. I'm sure people are going to try to convince us that they know, you know, what was left out. And I don't believe most of any of them. But, you know, I'll say this. You know, you're paid to do a job. And in my opinion, Doudrop and Nikki Ash, I see nothing wrong with what they do inside the ring that would give me fright, fear. Plus, it's a six-person match. I mean, if there was really concern, there's ways with a six-person, six-way match that, okay, Nikki Ash, Doudrop, or Sasha, whatever it is, you two don't interact during the match. Why is it that difficult? The fact that they put their titles on the desk, took their suitcases, and walked out. You know, think about that for a minute. What could have been so unbelievably, my only guess out of it, and I'm just guess, is that I think Doudrop and Nikki Ash were next in line to feud with Sasha Banks and Naomi. And they must have set up something in that match where Doudrop and Nikki Ash were going to get big time upper hand on Sasha and Naomi. And whatever it was, Sasha and Naomi, because remember that statement, they felt disrespected, that they must have planned Doudrop and Nikki Ash to do something to both of them. And Sasha is like, oh no, I'm not going with this. And to leave your titles and walk out because of that, Sasha Banks repaired that stigma. And it feels like it's just coming back again. Horrible. Horrible story. Horrible story. So that's what we know right now. I mean, we've talked 20 minutes about it. I don't think we need to go any further. A couple of quick questions that came in during this. Bob the Builder saying something must have really pissed him off. Yeah, we just discussed a couple of scenarios that it could be. But again, the fact that WWE brought up the two people in the match, again, you just took those two people, you know, Doudrop and Nikki Ash, you know, we're assuming that it's them. I mean, it only makes sense that it's them. But a Doudrop and Nikki Ash, if WWE does not name those two or name two people, even if they felt it, even though they heard rumors or maybe they you know, you don't want to be told that. I mean, how horrible they must feel that two of their fellow peers doesn't feel comfortable being in the ring with them. If I was Nikki and Doudrop, I'd be pretty pissed off right now. Kavan says this reminds him of Steve Austin taking his ball and going home. Yeah. You know, I remember everything with Brock Lesnar. You know, they wanted to do the match, and Steve Austin was against it, felt that it should have been more hyped up. But look, there was much more going on with Steve Austin at that time. I don't want to rehash all that other stuff, but you remember the other relationship that he had. There was a few other things going on, too. The Brock Lesnar match, to me, was just the straw that broke the camel's back. But, yeah, I could see exactly what you're talking about. An official thump, how do I think Jimmy feels about it? I think Jimmy supports Naomi and respects whatever her decision is. Naomi is not known, you know, to, you know, take actions like this. So whatever the reason is, I think Jimmy will stand right by, just like Naomi stood right by Jimmy with all of his issues. So, you know, to be continued, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Yeah, they get paid crazy amounts of money. You know, it's especially, again, you know, when you think about the Naomi thing, even if, you know, Sasha was not happy with how the match was set up. If Naomi legitimately was supposed to win this, you know, in the end, the result is what one or both of them wanted. So, you know, it's a mess. All right. Let's talk about Ric Flair for a few moments. Then we'll talk about Raw, a few other tidbits. What time is it? 11:34? Yeah, you know what? Let's do the contest now. Let's do the, again, it's only going to take 60 seconds. Once again, somebody tonight is going to win this Sting autographed AEW picture and a $50 AEW e gift card. You can buy whatever you want with it. So all you got to do, the instructions are simple. Get your typing fingers ready. Don't type it yet. I am actually going to say, I'm going to type go in the chat, and then for the next 60 seconds, all you have to do is type who you believe the two jokers are going to be on Wednesday's AEW Dynamite. You have to get both jokers correct. If you enter more than one entry, I take your first one. If I go back on the replay and I see that an entry was deleted and something else was replaced, can't take your entry. So, very quickly, Post. Who do you think the jokers are going to be? You know, I know on the women's side, a lot of people are saying could be Ember Moon. Some people are saying a few others. Some people point out that the joker does not have to be a new wrestler. That's a good point. The joker does not have to be somebody brand new to the company. Some people think Candice LeRae. That's an excellent choice, too. On the men's side, you know, my pick all along was Cesaro, who is now going under the name Claudio Cesaro. Some people think that it could be Johnny Gargano. There's many choices you could choose from. But again, you have to pick both correctly. And again, you don't have to rush. I mean, we're going to end this contest in about 20 seconds. But if multiple people get it right, then we will spin the wheel on Thursday. We'll do it live, and whoever it lands on will win. Jeff, exactly where you're typing, in the chat comments. That's the instructions. In the chat comments where everybody else is typing it. Tessa Blanchard is an interesting choice, although I don't think AEW, you know, really wants to have Tessa Blanchard because, especially with the controversy that comes with her right now. So, but that's not a bad choice. And look, if you put Ember Moon, we know who she is. So if it ends up being Athena, yes, it's the same person. You don't have to get the exact character correct. We know who you're talking about. All right. We're almost done. We're almost done. And I'm going to type contest closed. So once that appears on the screen, that means the contest is closed. No other entry. So last chance, 10, 9, 8. Leave it to Charlie to ask me about New York's governor while we're doing this. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Last chance, 2, 1. Done. Baxter, I don't think Chris Benoit will be one of them. All right. Good luck to everybody. Good luck. Ric Flair. I am going to only spend 5 minutes on this because I personally don't think it warrants more than 5 minutes. For those that are not aware of it already, Ric Flair is in fact going to have one more wrestling match. Not only Eric Williams, welcome to La Nostra Familia, my friend. Much love, my brother. Welcome. Ric Flair is going to have one more match. He went on Twitter this morning and he said, and I quote, "The rumors are true. I'm going to walk that aisle, style and profile, one last time, July 31st, Nashville, Tennessee, Jim Crockett Promotions. I will prove once again that to beat a man, you've got to beat the man." Now we go to school. Okay. By the way, this is in conjunction with StarCast 5, which is going to take place in Nashville. That is SummerSlam weekend. So that's why all this is going down when it's going down. All right. Here's my honest take on Ric Flair at 73 years old getting in the ring, not as part of a tag team match, because a few places reported tonight, again, I don't know who to credit originally, they claim that Ric Flair at 73 years old, his opponent is going to be 69-year-old Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Okay, I'm going to give you, very bluntly, my take on it. If the Nashville, Tennessee, if the Tennessee State Athletic Commission clears Ric Flair to go in that ring and have a match, then let him do it. Let him have one more shot. That's his bucket list. Pro wrestling is his life. If it's 73, he wants to do it. People want to pay to see it. And Tennessee clears him. That's the most important part of all this. If the Tennessee State Athletic Commission clears him, fine. If he drops dead in the ring, if he falls and breaks bones, that could happen to Ricky Steamboat as well. You know, we don't want that to happen. We hope it doesn't happen. But whatever happens as a result, no one can be surprised. How I look at this, the only way I can compare this is when I was a kid and I was still a Yankee fan before Reggie Jackson left and went to the California Angels. One of my most favorite parts of the year being a baseball fan as a kid was watching Old Timers Day. Watching Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, Willie Mays, when he would be part of the Mets Old Timers game. And some of these players were in their 60s and 70s. And when they played the field, if a ball got hit their way, they would just jog for it. They didn't go balls out. If they hit a ball, it might ground to the pitcher. Nobody expected any of these legends to hit home run. Once in a while, you did. Once in a while, you would see somebody in their 60s knock it out of the park. But when you watch an old-timers game and you see people in their 60s and 70s and they play the field for an inning or two, you know, you're not going to judge it. You're not going to critique it, rip it. You know, you're seeing someone who's larger than life do a little one more time. That's what I compare it to. I don't expect either of them to be, I'm sure we're going to hear 10,000, you still got a chance. These are 70-year-old men who are going to have a little exhibition, and we should leave it at that. Benjamin, you obviously don't know what an old-timers game is. Google it. Watch a few. Look at some of the legends from yesteryear when they were alive. And people would get emotionally, you know, it brings them back to their childhood, their teens, when they were baseball fans back in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. I used to love old-timers game. And, you know, it was depressing, you know, when you would go years later and you'd see a baseball player who was in their 40s but had to retire early because of injury. You know, that gets a little depressing because you realize that your favorites can no longer play. But when you only heard about somebody like Roger Maris or Joe DiMaggio and others back then, and you got to see them for a couple of moments, even if they couldn't do anything, you still enjoyed it. That's how I look at it. But again, I stress, if the Tennessee State Athletic Commission clears them, because if they don't clear them, or I don't know what the Tennessee, I haven't had a chance to look up how stringent is the State Athletic Commission. But if it's almost non-existent and something seriously happens, I blame the state. I blame the promoter. I blame everyone. Just because you think you could do it doesn't mean that you should. And I will say one last thing about this. Every single person online that writes a blog, has a show, podcast, radio, whatever it is, don't you dare ever criticize other wrestlers who no longer could do it and they tease one more match. You know, don't you dare say, oh, if Rick wants to do it, let him do it. You know, doesn't mean we want to see it. If Hulk wants to do it, if Smash wants to do it, if anyone wants to do it, don't you dare mock, make fun, rib. Because if there's anybody, in our opinion, that should never get behind back in the ring again, that's Ric Flair. The man was pretty much clinically dead a couple of years ago. He's got permanent health issues that I honestly don't understand how he could get cleared. But I saw the stuff he did with Jay Lethal. We talked about it a few weeks ago, and he looked fine. He looked fine. So if they feel that he is healthy enough to do it, by all means. A little lighthearted moment. I actually have some footage. I have a preview, 30-second preview of Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair preparing for their match. Now, look, card subject to change. There's been no official announcement that Ricky Steamboat will be his opponent. It only makes sense. I'll tell you the truth. It's not Ricky Steamboat. I know what you're all thinking. It should be Sting. Sting has shown that he can still do it. So whether it's Sting or Ricky Steamboat, if they feel that they could do it, by all means. But if it ends up being Ricky Steamboat, here is exclusive. A sneak preview. There you go. There's Rick. Oh, look. Oh, Steamboat on his ass. There's Rick going for the kicks. He is capitalizing. He's got, oh, Rick. Oh, my God. The referee is down. Special guest referee, Briscoe. Look, they're going to go at it again. Here we go. There's Ricky. There's Rick. Oh, my God. Look, they're going at it again. Oh, look at that fall. Go for the pin, Rick. Oh, he falls on his ass. I hope to God that's not what we get. I hope to God that's not what we get. Guys, this is three old men. going at it. That's not really them. You know, somebody on Twitter actually said to me, that's fake. No fucking shit. No shit. All right. Let's talk about Raw a little bit. We'll get into a couple other tidbits. We're already at 40 minutes. And you know what? Let me, AS7607 just commented about Flair and Steamboat. Yeah, 73 and 69 years old. She says, I'm sorry, but it would be like watching Heroes of Wrestling. That pay-per-view was dreadful. Oh, I remember that one. That was rough. But here's the thing, though. Heroes of Wrestling, that was sold more like these guys could still do it. You know, I want to make something clear. It's not going to just be one match, and it's going to be Flair against whoever. They're going to do a full event. You're going to have 6-7 matches at minimum of wrestlers who are in their prime. You might have some other Hall of Famers doing a little bit as well, but it's not all the focus is going to be on these two guys. You will have other wrestlers main eventing that night. So, look, these guys obviously know what they're doing, but once again, if Tennessee clears them to do it, if you want to see it, go see it. I'll be honest with you. I'm not watching it live because I don't want my... You know what's weird about this? You remember the Hulkamania tour in Australia? Do you remember when Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan went to Australia? That was what, 2010? That was 13 years ago, and that was an embarrassment. So now you have Ric Flair 13 years later, and with all of the health issues he's had, and then you look online. I mean, I hope I don't upset anybody on the women's side. Please, I don't mean this the way it comes across. But you know what I based, to summarize, you know the reaction I saw online tonight? Because this is Conrad, because this is StarCast, because there's going to be some elite involvement with it in some capacity, their reaction to Ric Flair, hashtag my body, my choice. That's what I saw tonight. My body, my choice. That's their justification for it. So you take it however you want. But, you know, I won't watch it live. But if people say to me, hey, DT, it wasn't bad, then I'll go watch it. I'll go watch it. All right, we'll get back to Sasha. Phil, I thank you very much for that. We'll get into some more feedback. You know, we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's talk a little bit about Raw. Couple of previews this week on NXT and AEW. Some ratings, some sad news about Cain Velasquez. Well, sad, depending on how you look at that situation. So, all right, so we open up Raw tonight with the cage match. MVP comes out with Omos, puts over Omos. Gives Lashley a little bit of respect as well, but in the end, Omos is going to win. And Omos could win by either destroying Bobby Lashley and pinning him, or he could leave the cage. But he feels no matter what, Omos is going to brutalize Bobby Lashley, and the Almighty era ends tonight. And you are all blessed to be living in the age of the Nigerian giant Omos. Bobby Lashley comes out as he's walking down that aisle. Cedric Alexander attacks him. Omos comes out, big brawl in the aisleway, and you realize they're doing all of this because of a commercial break. And that's exactly what happened. Bobby Lashley goes into the cage. Omos is staring at him outside. We go fade to black. We come back. We get the match pretty even early on. Bobby Lashley ultimately gets the upper hand, taking it in. You hear loud, let's go, Bobby chants. Bobby Lashley hits a forearm to the back of the neck of Omos, goes for the hurt lock. Omos breaks out the first time. Bobby Lashley gets away from Omos, starts climbing the cage, and here comes Cedric Alexander once again, stopping Bobby Lashley. But this time, Cedric climbs all the way to the top of the cage. Bobby Lashley picks him up and flips him into the cage to the mat. And quickly, for everybody asking, what happened to Cedric Alexander? Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin, right now, very rare, might only be the second or third time in his career, he is sidelined with an injury. There is nothing for Cedric Alexander right now because of Shelton's injury, so they're putting Cedric in this storyline. I think in the end, Omas is going to squash Cedric Alexander like a grape, but we wish best wishes for Shelton Benjamin. So, Lashley is stopped by Cedric Alexander. He gets thrown into the cage. Bobby Lashley climbs the cage again, attempts to dive onto Omas, but Omas catches him. And then Omas, this was a little odd, he's looking at one side of the cage, felt like he was looking a little too long. I don't know if maybe he was unsure which side of the cage he was supposed to do it, but next thing you know, he starts charging the side of the cage and he throws Bobby Lashley into the side of the cage. It breaks. So the cage, the side of the cage facing the rampway falls down. Bobby Lashley falls down with the cage. Bobby Lashley is laying on the cage outside the ring. And Omas is standing there just looking in his amazement. And for about 10 awkward seconds, everybody's like, okay, what the fuck are you going to do? But then people realized all Bobby Lashley has to do is just put his feet on the floor and he wins. So what happens? Bobby Lashley laying on the cage, that's or the part of the cage that's on the floor. He just rolls to the bottom and he stands up. He wins the match. Kind of a, look, the idea was great. The idea was great. It almost reminded me of Paul White when he first debuted in WWE. That's Paul White. That's Paul White. Like you want like a big man do a big move, break, you know, part of the cage, impressive. So the idea was great. The execution was kind of crappy. I think Bobby Lashley, in my opinion, yes, we're playing Monday morning quarterback. I think when Bobby Lashley got thrown outside, the minute that cage door hit the floor, he should have rolled down that cage and acted like he didn't even realize he won. You know, he just should have, you know, just inadvertently just rolled down that, his feet touched the floor and like, you know, I know you might think it looks goofy, but it would have been so quick that Omas looked like an Oompa Loompa in there. You go back and you watch Omas after that happened and he's just standing there like looking at his, it's like you build something and you take a step back and you're just looking at it. You're just staring at it. You know, like, I don't know. It was kind of crappy. Even more crap. And I did not like this. Oh, and by the way, throughout the show tonight, we had a countdown clock that Cody Rhodes at the 10 o'clock hour was going to address Seth Rollins and what happened last week with the curb stomp on the announcer's table. You ever hear that phrase, picture is worth a thousand words? Anybody that's watching video right now, look at your screen. That picture says it all. When you think of Mustafa Ali, when you think of Theory right now, Veer Mahan and The Miz. Yeah, we have to be patient with this Mustafa Ali storyline, everyone. But let me tell you why this is horrendous. We talked about it last week when Mustafa Ali did all those skits online making fun of Theory. Why is Mustafa Ali not upset at Ciampa at all? You know, Ciampa suddenly disappears. I'll be honest with you. I know it was his first feud on the main roster, technically. I'm a little concerned about Ciampa's future in WWE. It almost feels like somebody in WWE said, you know what, fuck it. No. He fought on main event tonight. He beat Reggie. I'm a little concerned about Ciampa's future. I'm just being honest with you. And I like Ciampa. You all know that. So tonight, we think we're getting a match between Theory and Mustafa Ali. No title on the line. Nothing mentioned about a title. But Theory comes out. Mustafa Ali comes out. Theory gets on the microphone and basically says, look, you lost. Why do you get a match with the champion when you lost? So first, he has a special guest referee that he wants to bring out. And yes, it's The Miz. And the one thing I hate about what's been going on with The Miz and Ali 2 weeks in a row is that Ali is talking to The Miz as if The Miz is just a regular official. Every time The Miz fucks with Ali, he's like, oh, come on! You look it back when Miz run. Oh, I got something. Oh, come on. I had him pinned. Ali looks awful out there. And I wonder if Ali is intentionally kind of like mocking it a little bit to express his frustration with this. It's awful. So Miz comes out there, and Mustafa Ali, he's in the corner, and he's loosening up, and he thinks he's going to get the match with Theory, even though Miz is the special guest referee, and Theory says, oh, no, you're not facing me tonight. You're facing me, Veer Mahan. So Veer comes out, and Ali is all disappointed and everything, but okay, he's got to take on Veer. Miz, special guest referee, Theory is at ringside, and they go at it a little bit. Then you get more awfulness. Ali knocks Veer Mahan outside the ring. He goes to run to the other side of the ring to dive, you know, to do a tope suicida onto Veer. And The Miz blocks his view and starts counting Veer out. So once again, you go back and look at it. Ali is like, come on! And he gets into an argument with Miz. And Miz pie faces Ali. You know, you pie face me in the face. I don't know if I would headbutt you Joe Black style. If you saw yesterday's show, you know why I say that. But Miz pie faces Ali. Instead of Ali in storyline trying to assault Miz, he turns around and he just walks into a clothesline from Veer Mahan. And then what happens? Veer Mahan, he hits him with the cervical clutch and Ali gives up. And then Theory tells Veer to clear off the announcer's table, and here come the Mysterios. The Mysterios make the save. They beat up on Veer Mahan a little bit. Veer ducks out of there. All right, we got the Mysterios back on TV. But we do have a fun selfie. I didn't get a copy yet, but I saw it right before we went live. Theory took a funny selfie. But again, you know, you look at this with Ali. He's trying, man. He's trying. But the Ciampa thing, you know, it's weird. It's weird. It's almost like you're playing a video game and somebody like throws a detour, like they throw obstacles at you to try to like get you off track. It almost feels like WWE is like, okay, we're gonna give it with Theory versus Ali. You know what? We're gonna just Ciampa come out for a couple of weeks. We'll just do this and set, and it's a mess. It's a mess. Riddle versus Jimmy Uso. Jey Uso is at ringside. Randy Orton is not. We talked about why a little bit earlier. Pretty even match early on. Towards the end of the match, Riddle goes for the super RKO, but is knocked off the top rope. Jimmy goes for a frog splash, but Riddle gets his knees up. They both get up. With the referee distracted, Jey Uso interferes. Then he tries to help Jimmy pin Riddle, and Jey Uso is like pushing on Jimmy, you know, so blatant. The referee looks up, sees what's going on, and he ejects Jey Uso. And this is like the third match in a row. I don't know if you've noticed this with others. I don't remember who, you know, the other participants. But now when someone gets ejected, I think it was Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler was one in the matches. Now when someone gets ejected, they don't even get to go to the back. While the person is halfway up the rampway, the match is over. I think that may have even happened once with Damian Priest. Might have been a match involving him. So what happens? Jey Uso's not even halfway up the rampway, and Jimmy and Riddle are exchanging fruit roll-ups, and Riddle gets the fruit roll-up for the win. We go into Friday with Riddle getting a win. I'm still sticking with what I said over the weekend. I think Friday's match ends in a no contest. I'd be very surprised if we end up with an undisputed, unified tag team champion after Friday, in my opinion. We will see. We will see. We had a recap of Rhea Ripley last week, what she did to Liv Morgan. I want to make something clear. I see everybody and their mother saying, oh, Liv Morgan is joining the club, the Bullet Club. Liv Morgan is that. Look, you got Edge, Damian Priest, men, men, woman, male, male, female. You got Finn Balor, AJ Styles, male. They needed to put a female, so they're going to have a mixed tag. So they put Liv Morgan aligning herself with Finn Balor and AJ Styles right now because they need a female on that side to watch Rhea Ripley. That's all that is. This is not going to be a club. If you paid close attention tonight of the Judgment Day cutting their promos, Edge offered a spot for AJ Styles. He never said, Finn, why don't you join us? He kept saying, AJ, join us, join us. Stop being cheap, join us. Stop killing your body. I did that, and all it left me with was broken bones and permanent injuries. At the end, they said anybody that gets in our way, Finn, Liv, or anyone else, they will have their Judgment Day. But Edge focused on AJ Styles. That's the diversion. The night Finn lost his championship, the theory, I said, I want to see Finn Balor join up with Edge. We didn't have Damian Priest at that time. There were rumors of Damian Priest, but I still stick it to it. I really believe. Sorry, Brad Shepard. I know last week he's like, hey, breaking news exclusive. I got firsthand that they're looking to put Finn on there. Ugh, people whack. Did you see today people are trying to claim that Harland was going to be part of Edge's group? I mean, I love Harland. Parker Boudreau, need I say more? We have praised him, and I said out of everybody released recently, he surprised me the most. When you heard what was coming out, you think Harland was ready for the main roster to be put up with a Hall of Famer and Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley and Harland? What was he going to do? Be a bold, intimidating potted plant? I saw that today. I'm like, in what planet? Maybe in 2025, when he's got a couple of years under his belt, motherfucker was not even ready for NXT yet. It's not, again, I want to see him succeed. It's crazy shit, man. Crazy shit. So, the reason why I said that about Liv is because Finn Balor and AJ Styles ask Liv, hey, you want to join us for a little while? You watch, you know, our back, we watch yours. Basically for her to keep an eye on Rhea Ripley, because Finn and AJ Styles are not going to put their hands on Rhea Ripley. But earlier in the day, Liv Morgan was being interviewed, and here comes Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza, Los Lotharios. Oh, I thought they were SmackDown tag team. They offer to help Liv. You know, oh, no, I don't need your help. So we find out later on we're getting Finn Balor and AJ Styles versus Los Lotharios. They come out, they do kiss cam, they lost. Finn Balor with the coup de grace on Humberto Carrillo. Liv Morgan is at ringside, even though no female was there. So, fine. We didn't get any interaction with the Judgment Day out there. Alexa Bliss, new music. Saw a very mixed reaction online. I like her new music. It's uplifting. It's energetic. I like the beat to it. I know a lot of you out there love Alexa Bliss's previous music. But I'm happy with the new theme. They tweaked her look. It's a little combination of past gimmicks. So yeah, change the music a little bit. I had no problem with it. She had a rematch today with Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville has a week to think about what happened, and she loses again to Alexa Bliss. This time, Sonya Deville, out of frustration, slaps the referee. Cody Rhodes comes out, a little bit of a cold, and he confronts Seth Rollins, who was supposedly not there. He says, Seth, I would never take away anything from you. And he brings up when he hit him with the curb stomp and he announces table last week, he's like, what did I try to take away from you? Two matches? Two losses? Cody brings up when Seth first came up as the Shield, brings up how he was WWE champion. And Cody was not. Cody was one of the guys in the locker room jealous. He didn't get Seth Rollins had. Seth Rollins won. Cody did not. He says, but Cody scratched and he clawed and he endured. He finishes by saying, I will never be the American dream. So why not embrace the American nightmare? And Cody says that Seth Rollins will have to kill him and he will give him the chance, and he issues a challenge at Hell in a Cell. Seth Rollins is shown on the monitor laughing it up. He says to Cody that WrestleMania was not enough for you. Cheating at Backlash was not enough for you. He calls Cody Rhodes stupid, made the biggest mistake of his entire life. He's going to exploit Cody Rhodes. And he says, you already know my answer. He says, I accept. And Cody says, well, there's only one thing left to say. I will see you in hell. Cody Rhodes, and I loved it because Seth said, Rhodes, Rollins, 3. Love the way that sounds. I'm glad they did that. So, Oscar early in the night making fun of Becky Lynch, her whining, and she says, tonight I'm going to give Becky a reason to cry. Becky Lynch is not ready for Oscar. Ezekiel versus Chad Gable. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, I appreciate everybody who loved the thumbnail that I did, a little ripoff of Maury. Ezekiel, you are the brother. Brother! I mean, I tried to have fun with that a little bit. I expected this to be in the ring. I thought, hey, wouldn't that be awesome if they did get Maury to open up the envelope? You know, but they did it so corny. They did it so corny that Chad Gable reveals he got a little DNA from Ezekiel, but he found a hair on an old Elias guitar, so he sent it out to be examined. And then Kevin Owens pulls out the results, and it's inconclusive because there was barbecue sauce on everything. And he starts getting mad at Otis because Otis recently ate, I think, ribs. Or so. It was horrible. It was like all of that for 30 minutes. That was a wet fart. That was awful. That was free. I expected that segment to be a lot more entertaining, and they just threw it away. In the back, throw it away, open up the paper. This is inconclusive. You mean to tell me Chad Gable and Otis didn't look at the results earlier? No, I don't want to see it. I'm going to let Kevin open it up first. And honestly, you know, if you open up the results in storyline and it says there was barbecue sauce on it, shush! You Photoshop it. You know, you change it around. You are Elias. So Chad Gable is going to expose Ezekiel next week. But tonight he's just going to beat it out of him. So we get Ezekiel versus Chad Gable with Otis in his corner. Kevin Owens comes out on commentary. Kevin Owens is priceless. Kevin Owens is my favorite Raw wrestler right now. It's been for a while. But the guy is just, ever since, even before he signed the New Deal. But there's just something about him. Like, I love when you dot the I's, cross the T's, and you look at every little aspect. I mean, the guy is just so detailed with what he does. But what ends up happening towards the end of the match, Otis tries to interfere unsuccessfully. Both guys, they try fruit roll-ups. Kind of sounds a little repetitive. You think about what happened earlier with Riddle and Jimmy Uso, but Ezekiel gets a fruit roll-up pin, and Kevin Owens is frustrated, pissed off that Ezekiel won. It only lasted a week, everyone. Remember last week I said that the new 24/7 title chase was going to be R-Truth trying to serve the papers to Tozawa? Thank God they only did it for a week. R-Truth is with Tamina. And Tamina's like, you got to serve him with these papers. And R-Truth is like, to catch a Tozawa, you have to think like a Tozawa. That's disturbing. Because when I heard that, I'm thinking of to catch a predator. If you use that terminology, that's like R-Truth saying, to catch a predator, you have to think like a predator. I don't want to think like a predator. So anyway, he sees a garbage bin, throws the paper in the garbage bin. And then R-Truth's like, 3, 2, 1. And Tozawa pops up out of the bin. He's been served. Officially served. That aspect is over. Dana Brooke, nothing personal against her. The worst actress on WWE television. R-Truth, I just wanted to thank you for serving the papers to Reggie last week. And R-Truth's like, hey, I want a little compensation. Give it to me. Give it to me. I don't know if they were intentionally trying to play it off that he was, you know, maybe insinuating something sexual. But he's like, I want my baby back. I want the 24/7 title back. He doesn't get it back. Dana runs away. And then Dana, the Acme Institute, everyone, that we always talked about going to the 90s. Somebody bumps into someone in the back. In the past, it used to be coffee. Now it's makeup. Dana bumps into Carmella, and Dana apologizes. Carmella's like, no, 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 let me apologize. Because you suck at being a wife. You suck at being a champion. And basically, R-Truth ends up crossing paths with Carmella. Remember, they used to be, you know, pairing on TV. R-Truth just wants his baby back. Carmella says, I will help you get your baby back when the time is right. But I want Dana as well. So that's what we have. I think the worst line of the night was when, I don't know if you caught on to it, when Dana Brooke said to Carmella that the last time you were relevant, there was a chinless guy that worked here. There was no reaction at all. None. Horrible fed lines. So, last two things. Lacey Evans. We had the conversation yesterday that WWE bringing Lacey Evans on TV, they could go one of two routes. They can either have her talk about overcoming, doing everything she did, but then ultimately say, I did it without the WWE Universe. None of you supported me. When I was at my lowest, you were not there. That's one way to go. The second way to go is that competition. She wants Bianca Belair's championship. By default, if Lacey Evans attacks Bianca Belair, nothing personal, she just wants the title, she will get booed. How could you boo me? After everything that I told you, after everything I did, why are you booing me? That's how they could do it as well. I'm not sure how I feel about that. So Lacey Evans comes out today, and she's cutting a little promo, you know, giving shout-outs, and people are waiting. Where's the butt? The butt in there, because she's talking about how she persevered, and you could do it as well, and inspirational. She's giving shout-outs to members of our military who were in the audience, and those were legit members of our military. And they finished the segment with positive, you know, giving inspiration, you know, that you can do it. If I could do it, you can do it. And then she finishes up that I may not be better than the Raw women's roster, but they're not better than me. That's it. So right now, nothing changes. But this is to officially introduce her as a member of the Raw roster. So again, it'll either be just strictly competition and fans will choose Bianca Belair over Lacey Evans, or she blatantly tells the fans, I did it without you. I tend to think it might just be competition, because if there was ever a time she could have said it, it would have been tonight. So main event, honestly, uneventful. I mean, you give Asuka and Becky Lynch credit. They were not planning on having a one-on-one match tonight, so they had to improvise. We had a fairly short match. Bianca Belair at ringside. She flew from New York to Virginia. I think they were in Virginia. And we get a moment late in the match where Becky Lynch throws Asuka into Bianca Belair. Now we're starting to worry that there might be a count out. And yes, I am with everyone out there that prefers to see Becky versus Asuka versus Bianca Belair at Hell in a Cell. I think that is an excellent match to do. So we were wondering tonight, does it end in a no contest? Because when Becky threw Asuka into Bianca, a lot of people thought she's going to get involved. They may get counted out. It ends in a no contest. Next week, Adam Pearce announces that it's going to be a three-way at Hell in a Cell. But no, we didn't get that. We have Bianca Belair trying to get inside the ring. Referee is distracted. Becky Lynch goes for, I think it was Asuka's umbrella or something. and Asuka spits the green mist. Hey, I love Malakai Black, but Malakai Black, you might learn a lesson or two how to spit mist. If you look at, you do it slow motion. You know, even AEW, when they did the slow motion, you see it like go right past Julie Hart's head. Brian Pillman Jr., I think, got more than Julie Hart. And they're showing slow-mos. Like, look, you could see the tiny little droplet that landed on her forehead. So Asuka, beautiful green mist spit right in Bianca's face. So horrible. Bianca Belair's legs, Becky Lynch's legs become paralyzed. Becky doesn't even try to kick out. The green mist is so bad that my legs are numb. She just laid there and got pinned. So Asuka will face Bianca Belair at Hell in a Cell. It's going to be a great match, but I think we have an idea what the outcome is going to be. Now it almost seems like Becky Lynch will probably get involved in that match at Hell in a Cell, and maybe that leads to the rematch at SummerSlam or Money in the Bank. So we will see. You know, not a bad episode of Raw. You know, obviously they had to change up the main event, but, you know, there was just a couple of segments that just felt lazy. I mean, I'm sure with a lot of other things going on, but I think even if that stuff with Sasha and Naomi, if that never happened, I think we would have still got the DNA results like we did. I think we would have still got some of those awful segments that we saw. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. Philip Maffey, seeing how Sasha Banks and Naomi walked out, makes him believe that WWE could possibly let them go for their contracts eventually. Yeah, we said that a little bit earlier. It's unprofessional behavior. I mean, it's a messed up situation because WWE fines Sasha or suspends her. You know, she may never come back to TV ever again. WWE making that statement so quick, so early, they wanted every single casual wrestling fan to know Sasha Banks did WWE dirty. Naomi did WWE dirty. After all of this proving Naomi, and she didn't have to prove it to us. We all knew that Naomi was deserving of a lot more. But after scraping and clawing, and she finally gets, you know, to WrestleMania, wins the championships, becomes a everything like that, and then they do this, it's almost like WWE is like, oh, fuck no. After all the shit that we did for you to get to the top, and Sasha Banks, we bend over backwards for everything for you, and we pay you this, this, and that, and then you do this, oh, we're going to make sure that every single person out there knows what you did. That's how it feels like. WWE was irate with this. I'm telling you, it's just, whew, very, very surprised to see how that happened. We'll have more this week, I'm sure. Chomp over Reggie for main event, and the Street Profits over Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz. NXT tomorrow, we have the confrontation in the ring of Tony D'Angelo and Santos Escobar. By the way, thank you, everyone. I did see the new Tony D'Angelo shirt. I will be getting one, but remember, I'm the boss, capiche? There's only one Don Tony. You know who that is. So, but there's enough for two. There is room for two Don Tonys. Cameron Grimes and Solo Sikoa, that was the tag team match that we expected from last week. They will take on Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. The women's breakout tournament continues, and the Creed brothers will face the Viking Raiders in a rematch. And look, we didn't talk about it last week, but I am hearing that WWE is going to grant Roderick Strong his release. They just want him to do a few more things with NXT and with the younger guys. Finish what they have for him with this, and then they will let him go. I heard his contract was going to be up anyway, so I don't know if that is true, but I heard that WWE is going to grant Roderick Strong a release, but not just yet. You know, I hope he changes his mind. I mean, I just, you know, I like I said before, I think he actually hurts the storyline in AEW with the Elite and the Undisputed Elite. Because you only got trios on there. You got Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. And eventually you could have Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. That's 3-3. I mean, you want both sides fighting over Roderick Strong? I don't think so. So as much as I wouldn't mind seeing the Undisputed Era reforming as a foursome, in AEW, it's three. You know, one, two, three. No, we don't have room for you. It's what it feels like to me. AEW this Wednesday, pretty loaded show. We will have Adam Cole versus Jeff Hardy, winner advancing in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Britt Baker versus the Joker, as we talked about earlier. Samoa Joe versus the Joker. They are both in the tournament. Kyle O'Reilly versus Rey Fénix, also in that tournament. Heavily Owen Hart Foundation this Wednesday. Hangman Page versus Konosuke, as I say it, Takeshita. It's Takeshita. I have nothing against the guy, but honestly, I have no interest in seeing him taking on Hangman Page. CM Punk on commentary. And then Chris Jericho and William Regal will be face-to-face. And as someone said yesterday, and I'm drawing a blank on his name, I think we all expect William Regal, not War Games, but to get on the mic, blood and guts, as only William Regal could yell it out. Probably be Eddie Kingston, Santana, Ortiz, who knows, maybe you get a member or two from the Blackpool Combat Club. They're going to take on the Jericho Appreciation Society, blood and guts. I think a lot of people see that coming. Congrats to the Usos over the weekend. The Usos are now 300 days as your WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champions. And let's give a shout out to Mandy Rose. Over the weekend, she hit 200 days as NXT champion. So congrats to both of them. What else do we have? Oh, I'm looking at my notes to make sure I didn't leave anything out. Ratings, Cain Velasquez. First of all, Cain Velasquez. You remember not too long ago, he shot someone who allegedly molested someone who was younger than 10 years old in his family. He was arrested, charged with attempted murder. Do you know they just had another bail hearing for Cain Velasquez, and they refused bail? A lot of people, you know, think that, you know, look, he shot someone who molested a kid. You know, imagine somebody in your family under the age of 10 being molested by someone. I'm sure you probably may even think of worse you would want to do to the person. The problem is, and I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but the law is the law. You know, I mean, attempted murder is attempted murder. If he did not plan it out, and there is evidence that he had planned this out, if he did not plan it out, heard what happened, left, stormed out of the house, flipped out, and fucking shot at the guy. Remember, he didn't hit the guy. He hit the guy's father. Yeah, he didn't even shoot the... Look, not making fun of him. He didn't even shoot the right person. He went and shot at the guy and ended up hitting the guy's father instead. My bad. You know, I mean, unfortunately, when you premeditate it and you plan it out, even if the person we all feel, you know, might have deserved, you know, something horrible happened to them, you still cannot take the law in your own hands. I mean, if it wasn't premeditated, I honestly think he'd be out on bail right now. But they refused his bail once again. And there is an uproar online. People in the MMA world, the wrestling world, you know, just people who are against, you know, that kind of sexual abuse. They feel that Cain Velasquez should be out on bail. See, that's the opposite of Tammy Sitch. Cain Velasquez is not a threat to society. You know, the only person he might be a threat to is that pedophile, alleged pedophile, if we have to play semantics here. You know, he might still want to do something to that guy. But when you premeditate, man, it's rough. It's rough, you know. Not trying to give anybody advice, but you never want to premeditate shit like that. You shouldn't do it anyway, but all right. Ratings for this week. We got some ratings for you. SmackDown this past Friday did 1,893,000, about a 5% decrease. Rampage, 5:30 p.m. once again. It did go up 16% to 340, but it is a special time slot, so we really can't rip on that poor number. Impact Wrestling went up 15% to 125,000. As we talked about last week, Dynamite with virtually no change at 840. NXT last week, a week after spring break and expected, went down almost 20% to 533. And last week's Raw, 1,652,000. It's going to be interesting to see what their rating is this week. So we are in an hour and 20 minutes. You actually got done. Even with that unexpected news story, you know, with Sasha and Naomi, what I will do right now is I will spend a few minutes in the live chat, and I will be more than happy to answer your questions. You don't have to super chat. I always have to remind you. I mean, it's appreciated and welcomed, but you don't have to do that. Of course, it gets a little VIP, but Official Thumb says Sasha Banks unfollowed Vince McMahon on Twitter earlier. You know what's interesting? Before everybody writes questions, you know what, Thump? You just made me think about something. Holy shit. Holy shit. I don't think, well, no, I think maybe one has to do with the other. Holy shit. Anybody remember what happened this weekend with Sasha Banks and social media? Chat room. Anybody remember what the buzz on social media was over the weekend with Sasha Banks? I'm sure someone out there is going to write it. Shout out to the first person that gets it right or who remembers. What happened? What was the buzz amongst a lot of people on social media this weekend? What was the buzz? Anybody know? Anybody pay attention to it? There was a lot of people over this weekend that said Sasha Banks unfollowed them. And some people were saying, oh, she pulled the Kevin Owens. Go, if you didn't know that, maybe I just hit on something. Over the weekend, she unfollowed a boatload of people. And if you go on Twitter and you type in on the search, advanced search, and you type in Sasha, Kevin Owens, you will see a few people over the weekend said, yeah, Sasha did a Kevin Owens. For those that don't know, Kevin Owens used to follow a lot of people. In fact, when Kevin Owens was helping Sami Zayn with some of those charity drives overseas, Kevin Owens at one charity drive said, look, if you donate to Sami Zayn's cause, I will follow you on Twitter. And then about a year, year and a half later, he ended up unfollowing everyone. But Sasha unfollowed a boatload of people this weekend, and this was before today. This exit might have been a few days in the making. Why would you unfollow a whole bunch of people over the weekend and then today walk out? Pay attention to that. It could be nothing. I find it awfully coincidental. So maybe we're on to something. Maybe we're on to something. All right. In the chat room, if you got a quick question you want me to answer fast, all I ask is in capital letters. Just write the word question so it stands out. Liddell, on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely is it that we wake up tomorrow morning and see that Sasha Banks is re-released? I would say 1. I don't think it would be that fast. I mean, look, WWE is pissed. They made sure we all knew what went down. She's obviously very valuable for the company, but this behavior should not be tolerated. I expect a suspension. I expect the titles to be stripped. Releasing, I think, it could happen in days. But right now, I would say no. Because you know what's happening right now. I guarantee you, while we've been doing this show tonight, there's about 5,000 AEW banners where it says Mercedes Varnado is all elite. Everybody is superimposing her likeness on an AEW thing. I guarantee you, you go on Twitter right now, everybody and their mother's doing that. So, Charlie, I don't pay attention to politics anymore unless I really need to know something going on. My favorite Hell in a Cell match of all time is Mick Foley versus The Undertaker. when Terry Funk came out to aid Mick Foley, and then he got knocked out of his own shoes, his sneakers. I remember he was wearing those white, ugly sneakers at that time. And Undertaker whacked him, and he got knocked out of his sneakers. I mean, look, that match was crazy. You know, Mick, I really appreciate what you did for us, but don't ever do that again. Vince has said that to Mick Foley a few times in his career. Garth is asking me, would I like to bring Andre Corbeil on show? And by the way, Garth, my condolences, Garth. Last week, we had talked about how his mom had passed away and she was laid to rest yesterday. So, Garth, I didn't want you to think we didn't know. I paid attention. So, you know, hope tonight, you know, helped you a little bit. Just get your mind off of it. Yeah, I'd love to have Andre Corbeil on for a day to chat. Absolutely. You know, Andre is good people. I mean, we get along, and I had the privilege of being on his show a while back. So, yeah, we're going to have more, you know, shows. And, yeah, I would definitely love to have him on. Eric is asking me, how do I think the Usos will react to the story? I think they will remain silent about it publicly. Jimmy will stand by Naomi no matter what. Real life and support for your spouse is more important than anything else. Jimmy has had his fair share of big mistakes and screw-ups, and Naomi has stood right by his side. So whatever the reason, the fact that she walked out too is pretty big. It's pretty big. You kind of feel like it wouldn't surprise you with Sasha, but Naomi, I think, is the one where people are like, whoa. You know, I know they're close, but, you know, you're going to jeopardize your... You know, Sasha's not going to be cutting checks for Naomi for money that she loses out. So, you know, there's a bigger story here. But don't even waste your time with a lot of these sites online, because they're just now trying to play around with the wording so they could come off as giving you a breaking exclusive story. So, better feud over in the past, Sting versus Flair or Steamboat versus Flair? I like Steamboat versus Flair more. Sting versus Flair was more important in the annals of wrestling history, you know, as far as especially when WCW got big and became Nitro. But Steamboat, Flair, those were works of art. If you appreciate the technical, beautiful side of pro wrestling, Flair, Steamboat is the way to go. If you're more into the storyline, then Sting and Flair is excellent. They had great matches too. They got excellent chemistry. C-Med, I love Edge's Judgment Day. I never thought it was a House of Black ripoff. Edge's had been in, you know, the Brood, the corporate ministry, or the ministry of darkness, I should say. I have no problem with it whatsoever. Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, their personas kind of reflected what the Judgment Day is with their look and everything. I like it. I like it. And I want to see it get a little bigger. I don't think it goes beyond Finn Balor, though. I think you get three or four people besides Edge, and I think that's where you stop. You don't want it to turn into the NWO or the corporate ministry when 19 people come out. You know, it's this day and age is not equipped. Back in the day, you had boatloads of factions. You had the bikers, you had the Puerto Ricans, you had the Japanese, you had this, you had this, you had this. So you could like combine two groups and they could go up against the, this day and age, you know, you don't have factions like that to offset the Judgment Day. So you add one or two people and then you stop. All right, we're going to start bringing this home about 5-10 minutes. My favorite wrestling belt of all time is the Intercontinental Championship belt that the Magnificent Morocco held in 1983. I don't know why. I think because of my personal memories of being a wrestling fan at that time, Snuka versus Morocco, you know, Morocco versus Rocky Johnson and a few others. I think probably the feuds being there and seeing a lot of it up close and personal, that's probably why I love that belt so much. Yeah, I remember the hug and smug connection. You know, we talked about that earlier. talked about it earlier. You know, Sasha Banks, the rumors at that time, because of the way they were being used, you know, she had a temper tantrum on a rug. And as I said at the beginning of the show, she repaired that. She repaired it. Now it seems like we're right back to square one. So, but again, out of all of this, I feel bad for Doudrop and Nikki Ash. Imagine how they feel right now. You know, WWE literally telling the world that Naomi and Sasha Banks did not feel comfortable working with these others. I'd feel horrible. I don't know. That's horrible. If Cena was in the Attitude Era, would he be in the mid-card spot? Yes, because he was so early in his career. You know, he was so early in his career. He came up in, what, 02? So it was still a little bit of the Attitude Era. It was just a little bit before his time. All right, a couple more questions and we'll get out of here. If there was a chance, if Finn or AJ went to AEW, do I think either of them would become the leader of the Bullet Club? Everybody keeps bringing up Bullet Club in AEW. I could see a little Bullet Club, maybe a Forbidden Door, but no, I don't think it's necessary. You got the Elite, the Undisputed Elite. I don't think you need to have that third faction. Look, if they wanted to have some type of club faction, they could have done it. They had Gallows and Anderson in there for a little while. You teased Jay White. You got a few others. They could have done it. I don't think it's necessary. I really don't think it's necessary. I really don't have any worst Hell in a Cell matches. I mean, the one, what was it, Charlotte and Sasha? If that was the match, there was one that they really hyped up and it was a little bit underwhelming. So I'm sticking with what I said, that I think that the unified tag match on Friday ends in a no contest. I think Drew McIntyre gets involved no matter what. Roman Reigns absolutely will get involved. Put it this way, if there's going to be a winner, the Usos are going to win it. Roman Reigns could end up, you know, getting a little revenge on Riddle for what happened last week, and that could cause the Usos to win. I'm still going, though, with a no contest. But if you're telling me there has to be a winner, I'm going with the Usos to win. If Sasha leaves WWE, she will go Hollywood. And if the price is right, I think she would go possibly to another wrestling company. I don't want to immediately say AEW, but yeah, I think right now, I think she would focus on Hollywood. Do I see Dakota Kai coming to AEW? It's possible. I think she would be a good fit in AEW. The problem is, you see how they use a lot of the women already. They don't get, you know, YouTube, they're tremendous stars. I mean, AEW is touting that Ruby Soho is like 28-4. And I brought this up before. She's got, what, 2 or 3 wins on national TV this year, and she's got like 16 on YouTube. I don't see Dakota Kai leapfrogging everyone. She makes the appearance, everybody oohs and ahs. She has a good match, and then she slowly fades away. I think she could go to AEW because she could still work indies. That's why I think she could actually, you know, be a little bit of a fit. I don't know if she, you know, she would get as much play as people think, but she would still be able to do outside projects. That's why I think it could happen. It definitely could happen. But I don't expect her to leapfrog. There's about a half a dozen women in AEW. I say there's no way she leapfrogs. And by the way, did you see today, everybody pretty much making official. We were right all along about the Hikaru Shida stuff. It was simply they couldn't get her into the States in time. That's all it was. That should have been handled privately. There should have been no tweets about that. So, all right. We're going to jet out of here. I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. If we only had one person who predicted the Joker's right, I will announce it Thursday. If it ends up we have multiple winners, because I will go back to the replay and I will look at everybody's entry. I saw like 2 or 3 people type it right after I said contest closed. Don't worry about it. You're in it too. But I will definitely take note. And, you know, if we have multiple people who get both jokers right, then on Thursday we'll have that virtual wheel on the screen. I'll put everybody's name on it and we'll spin it. And wherever it lands, they will win the autographed Sting photo and the $50 AEW e-gift card. So good luck to everybody who participated tonight. Tomorrow we will do the NXT watch party. And I don't have it handy, but we got some fun giveaways tomorrow for the watch party. So I'll post it on the community section and on Twitter. And then Friday, we're back to the normal time slot with Rampage. So we'll do the watch party for that in SmackDown. And look, you know, we'll pay attention to the news. I mean, obviously, for my Patreon family, I'll be on Patreon tomorrow, Tuesday. So if we do get any updates regarding this incident with Sasha and Naomi, we'll talk about it tomorrow. And for my non-Patreon family, we will definitely get into it on Thursday. I will tell you right now, there's definitely not going to be a Wednesday Night Dynamite this week. A lot of you, and I'm going to put a poll up to finish this once and for all, but a lot of you like that we get into some AEW and NXT discussion on Thursdays and a little bit of news as well, not just to do only Q&A on Thursday. So the last couple of weeks has been very well received, and we might end up leaving that format as it is. We could also divide the show into two, do a little Dynamite and then a little Q&A as well. So, all right, everyone, have a great night. On the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that like button, because you know by now, you know, that algorithm, the more that happens, the more YouTube is inclined to tell others, hey, this is a pretty good show. You might want to check it out. Post a comment. If you have any questions that I did not answer tonight, post it in the comment section. I'll be more than happy to answer them. And everyone, be safe, you know, wherever you are, and all the best to you. Thank you, as always, for the support, and I will catch you all again later this week.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or...
That's Cain Velasquez, by the way, from the court today. So I didn't mean to, like, interrupt the show, but I just noticed I had it, so.
Curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.